coming up next on Lutheran Radio UK.
Love Letters, a Bible study on the epistles with Pastor Arno Bessel of St. Peter's Lutheran Church in Plymouth, Devon.
Welcome to the series of Bible studies on the letter of the Apostle Paul to the Colossians. Colossians is one of the books found in the New Testament. In reality, Colossians is a letter sent by the Apostle Paul to Christians living in the town of Colossae. First of all, let us consider a few points of introduction. Do we know who wrote the letter to the Colossians? The author identifies himself in the very beginning of the letter saying, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God. It has been generally accepted that the Apostle Paul wrote the letter to the Colossians. The Apostle probably wrote the letter while he was imprisoned in Rome, where he spent at least 2 years under house arrest. Some scholars have argued that Paul wrote the letter from Ephesus or Caesarea, but most of the evidence favors Rome as the place where Paul composed this letter and several other ones. So Colossians should be dated circa 60 AD. What do we know about the town of Colossae and the church? Hundreds of years before Christ, Colossae had been a leading city in Asia Minor, present-day Turkey. It was located on the Lycus River and on the great east-west trade route leading from Ephesus to the Aegean Sea to the Euphrates River. By the 1st century AD, Colossae was diminished to a second-rate market town, which had been surpassed long ago in power and importance by the neighboring towns of Laodicea and Hierapolis. In New Testament times, what gave importance to Colossae was the fact that during Paul's 3-year ministry in Ephesus, Epaphras had been converted and had carried the gospel to Colossae. The young church that resulted then became the target of heretical or false teaching attack. For this reason, Epaphras visited Paul in Rome reporting the problem. When Paul took notice of the problem of false teaching in Colossae, he wrote a letter to the Christians in order to warn them and to help them to remain true to the gospel of Christ. What was the purpose of Paul writing to the Colossians? The main purpose Paul had in mind was to refute false teachings. He aimed to guide the Colossian congregation away from heresy and into the truth about Jesus and his saving work. The letter is especially rich with descriptions of Christ, his work, and the blessings he extends to us through holy baptism. The reformer Martin Luther summarizes the letter to the Colossians, saying the following. First, Paul praises and wishes for the Colossians that they continue and increase in faith. He delineates what the gospel and faith are, namely, a wisdom which recognizes Christ as Lord and God, crucified for us, which has been hidden for ages but now brought into open through his ministry. Paul warns the Colossians against the doctrines of men, which are always contrary to faith. Paul exhorts the Colossians to be fruitful in pure faith, doing all sorts of good works for one another, and he describes for various situations in life the works which are appropriate to them. So far the words of Martin Luther. Now let us go to the text of the letter. We read in Colossians chapter 1 verses 1 and 2. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae. Grace to you and peace from God our Father. The author of the letter identifies himself, Paul. It was customary in those days to put the writer's name at the beginning of a letter for the convenience of the addresses, since letters were written on scrolls. Apart from his name, Paul also states that he is an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God. Paul did not choose to be an apostle, but was called by God. So Paul's writings and his works carry the authority of Christ Jesus. Besides Paul, also the name of Timothy is mentioned. He is the co-author of this letter along with Paul. Timothy was a favorite co-worker of Paul. Timothy's father was a Gentile, and his mother was Jewish. Timothy often worked alongside Paul or was sent as his representative to various churches. Timothy was especially close to Paul. That's why Paul refers to him as our brother. After the identification of the author, the addresses are identified. The saints and faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae. What is meant by saints? Saint doesn't mean here human perfection or being without sin. Christians are saints on account of Christ. Because Christ died for the believers and paid for their sins, they are declared saints in the sight of God. And because the Holy Spirit continually works in their lives and makes them saints. Besides saints, Paul also refers to the Colossians as faithful brothers in Christ. By virtue of their baptism, all believers are in Christ, that is, they are connected to Christ and belong to Him. Paul wishes that the grace and the peace from God our Father be with the Colossians. The fact that in Colossae was a Christian congregation was likely due to a man called Epaphras, who brought the gospel to that town. Now Paul writes to this young congregation that is threatened by false belief. God cared for the Christians in Colossae and used Paul, Timothy, and other servants to establish the truth and love of Christ in the hearts of the believers. In the same way, God does not give up on us either when we are tempted by false teachings. Now we go back to the text of the letter to the Colossians proper, reading from chapter 1, verses 3 to 8. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. Of this you have heard before, in the word of the truth, the gospel, which has come to you, as indeed in the whole world it is bearing fruit and growing, as it also does among you, since the day you heard it and understood the grace of our God in truth, just as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant. He is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf, and has made known to us your love in the Spirit. Paul typically opens his letters with thanksgiving and prayer. Here Paul and Timothy begin expressing thankfulness to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is an indication of God's triune nature and the loving relationship between Father and Son. What is the reason for giving thanks? Paul and Timothy had heard what God had done in the lives of the Colossians. So they give thanks to God for the faith in Christ Jesus and the love the Colossians had towards their fellow believers. This reminds us that faith and love are gifts created and granted by God. To the virtues of faith and love, Paul adds hope. By hope is meant a sure expectation directed toward a brilliant future God reserved for His children. This hope is laid up in heaven. How did the Colossians have been given faith, love, and hope? As always, God used the gospel as the means by which He grants these gifts. As the founding missionary of the Colossian church, Epaphras had proclaimed the gospel in the town. But not only Colossae had received the gospel. Paul says that in the whole world the gospel is bearing fruit and growing. This needs to be understood in the proper context of time. In those days, the whole world meant the Roman world. By the way, in less than 3 decades since Pentecost, the gospel was being proclaimed to the entire Roman world. Once the gospel is announced, it certainly bears fruit. We can be thankful to God that the gospel reached us and produced fruits in our lives. At the same time, the mission belongs to the Christian church today to spread the gospel by all honest means possible. Epaphras serves as an example to us today. Paul speaks well of him as a beloved fellow servant, a faithful minister of Christ. Paul and Timothy not only give thanks to God, but they also pray. In Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 to 14, we read as follows. And so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. May you be strengthened with all power, according to His glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. What do Paul and Timothy ask in prayer? Regular prayer is an essential part of the holy ministry. Paul prays for knowledge of the will of God that is centered in God's forgiveness in Christ and revealed by the Holy Spirit. Paul prays for spiritual wisdom, which is the practical application of faith in Christ. Paul also prays for understanding, which is insight or a clear application of knowledge guided by the Holy Spirit. Here we have a tremendous lesson for our prayers. All of us need knowledge of God's will, spiritual wisdom and understanding to put into practice what we learn from the gospel and what we believe. Paul says exactly this so that the Colossians may walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Where there is faith accompanied by knowledge of the will of God, by spiritual wisdom and understanding, there lives of good deeds will flourish. Paul continues to pray for power, for endurance and patience with joy. Paul also adds a very important note saying that it is God who qualifies us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. Sin disqualifies us, but God qualified us through Christ's work of redemption to receive an inheritance of God's kingdom of light. Then Paul makes this extraordinary remark that God has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. This statement is so full of meaning and comforting for us. We who have been in the domain of darkness, held captive in the bonds of sin and the devil, we have been redeemed. We have been delivered and freed by the payment of a ransom, namely, by the sacrifice of the life of Jesus Christ on the cross. Our sins are forgiven. We are free in the care of our dear God. You see, there are so many reasons to give thanks to God. There are so many reasons to pray to God to keep us in the faith and make us grow and flourish in a life pleasing to God. Thank you for reflecting with us in this study. Please join us again next time.
This study has been prepared and presented by Pastor Arno Bessel. He serves St. Peter's Lutheran Church in Plymouth, Devon. The congregation at St. Peter's is expecting to meet you and to share the good news of Christ with you. Divine services are held on Sunday at 11 a.m. and Bible studies on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. For more details, visit our website, stpeterslutherans.co.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook, St. Peter's Lutheran Church, Plymouth, England. For questions or comments about any issues raised in this program, write an email to info@lutheranradio.co.uk. Check our program online and stay tuned.